within the day as we began the day with a period of worship. We're thankful for your presence this evening and thankful for those who contributed to the Happy Haven Children's Home. We do that every third Sunday of the month, and just designate on whatever part of your giving you'd like to give to that, envelope or some other way, however you want to designate that, put it in the basket as the contribution baskets go by, and that money will be sent to Cookeville, to the children's home there, and such great work that's done for those children. Houston Bynum, that works there, says that we're one of their biggest givers as far as a regular donation, and so the children there benefit very much from our giving, from your generosity, and so it's a good thing that we do in regard to that. And so we are, they're very thankful for it. So it's another thing that we can do that seems, it may seem to you insignificant, it may seem something we just do out of habit, but it really does impact the lives of people who need it. So we're very thankful for your generosity along those lines. Let's go to our Father in prayer before our lesson. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this evening. We're thankful for the warmer weather. We're thankful for the rain that we've had, and we know that we'll have a few, what seems like a few dry days. We're thankful for that as well. We know that soon we will have the growing season, and we're thankful for this time of year when the crops grow, and so many parts of this country supply food for the rest of this country, but also supply food for many parts of the world in places that are deserted, places that are destitute. We know that we are truly the breadbasket of the world, and we're thankful that we can do that. You've blessed us in ways where we can bless ourselves, but also serve those around us. We're thankful for those men and women who work hard at farming and doing those things, that type of work that's, well, there's never a day off, and it's long hours and very little thanks that goes along with it. But we're thankful for their dedication to that work. And we know that you put talent and interest in the lives of all of us to be used for your glory. May we all use our talents to your glory. May we always see our professions and see our hobbies and all the things that we do as a way to glorify the gifts that you've given us and glorify you. Bless us this evening as we open your word and help us to understand your word better, to take these truths with us, to understand them, to apply them, to share these with others so that they too can know more about you and your will. We're thankful for the Bible, that you've communicated your message to us and preserved it throughout the centuries so that we can know how to respond to the gospel in the same way that people did 2,000 years ago. And we will receive all the same blessings as those who responded to the gospel 2,000 years ago. Continue to love us and forgive us. Continue to be merciful to us. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I want to begin a series this evening called Out of Sight, But Not Out of Mind. And we're going to look the next few Sunday nights at some topics that we can't see. Either things in the future that we haven't experienced yet, or they are things that we actually can't see. We're never really going to be able to see on this earth, but they're not out of mind because we think about them, because we, in some cases, have theories about them. But as with anything that it's Bible-related, we open the Bible to find the answers, to find the understanding of these things. And in some cases, we just have to do our best to understand these things, to picture these things in our minds, because, again, we haven't experienced a lot of these issues that we'll talk about. So nobody can say, oh, yeah, this is exactly what that looks like. This is exactly how it feels. Some things are just beyond our reach in terms of experience in this life, but we'll know that we'll have, of course, a better understanding later concerning these things. And tonight I want us to take another look at the subject of angels. And we looked at this on a Sunday morning a couple of years ago. We've talked about them in classes and things. And when we bring up topics for the second or third time, I always try to look at them a little bit differently, add some things to them, give a little bit different perspective and not just go over the same ground again. But tonight I want us to think about angels. I don't know how much you think about angels. Usually when we're presented with angels, they're on television shows, they're in the movies. Our image of angels come from Hollywood, usually. That's usually a female, usually with wings, usually with a halo, flying around, sort of a spirit being that's always happy, always helpful. Sometimes we think of guardian angels. Some people have a concept of guardian angels, and that's from a passage of Matthew 18 where Jesus seems to suggest that children have guardian angels. Doesn't use that term, but the method that he describes angels using is, it kind of describes that. But we're not going to get into that passage. It may not be exactly what Jesus meant by that, but we do have an idea of guardian angels. People talk about that in the sense of when there's danger, an angel protects us. When there's something going on, an angel comes along to serve us. And there is a lot of truth to that, even if Matthew 18 may say otherwise. But when it comes to angels, we do have a very specific view. It's always a Hollywood version. It's because it's hard to explain. Beyond the Hollywood version, we read the text, you see angels described here and there in different ways. You try to figure out, try to get that image in your mind about what they really are, and this is not working. Here we go. Wants to do 10 things tonight that are facts about angels. Before we get into the 10 facts about angels, wants to know that the word itself doesn't help us too much in terms of deciding what an angel is and what an angel does. Angels comes from a Greek word, angelos, which means a messenger. Simply just a messenger. Generally, the way that we understand it in Scripture is a supernatural messenger from God that gives a message to people. We know this from Gabriel and giving the message about Christ. We know angels name in a few places in Scripture. We see angels giving a message, and that's usually how we think of it. But the word itself is just means messenger. And so that adds a little bit of confusion and understanding about angels. Not all messengers were, of course, heavenly beings. John the Baptist, for instance, was a messenger. That same word is used for him. Well, we know John the Baptist was not a spirit being that had a halo and wings and floated around. He was just a man. He was a person who prepared the way of Christ and preached in the wilderness about repentance and getting people spiritually minded about the coming of Jesus. And we see, of course, in other places where we have just a person who gives a message. Sort of like a parallel to this sort of confusion about a word is like the word apostle. Apostle really just means ambassador. Well, we know there are specific apostles that Jesus called and gave special ability to that follow him and were given special instruction and so forth. But we see other places where Barnabas is called an apostle. In every version of that text, it says Barnabas was an apostle. And I know Barnabas isn't on the list in Sunday school that you learn of the 12 apostles. But he's called an apostle. Why? Because, well, it's just in a generic term, being an ambassador for Christ. So we don't need to be confused by that. The same is true with angels, just a messenger, but we have to look at the context of each passage to see which one we're really talking about. So 10 things that you need to know about angels. These are not all the things in the Bible that we have about angels, but there are 10. First of all, they're created beings. God created everything, and you know that, but sometimes with some things, we kind of think that they've always been around, that they were never created. Well, Psalm 148 verses 2 and 5 tell us that the angels were created just like you were created, just like the earth was created, everything else, the stars and the heavens and so forth. The key component, the key verse, I believe, concerning the work of angels is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, and what they do. And it's a sort of vague verse. It's a very generic verse about the work of angels. I wish it gave a little bit more detail, but it's concerning a passage. The Hebrew writer's been writing several verses about angels. It gets down to the last verse of Hebrews chapter 1 and simply says this, a rhetorical question, a question to make a statement, not to get information. He says, are they not all, concerning angels, are angels not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? And he throws that out just like everybody knows that. Of course they're that, aren't they? Now, of course this is what angels do. He's assuming you know this, that they are ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who inherit salvation. Even though it's a little bit vague, there is some information in there. They're ministering spirits. They are there to help us. They are there to do good. Just like anything ministers to something else, it just simply means help something else. So it says angels are ministering spirits, so we know that helps us. Also says that they render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. Now that means that they're not working for everybody. They're not helping everybody. They're not ministering to everybody. Who are they ministering to? Those who will inherit salvation. Sounds like a Christian. Sounds like a believer. Sounds like someone who's obeying the gospel is now privileged to have angels ministering to them. Another blessing of being in Christ. Everyone know a lot of spiritual blessings about being in Christ? Read Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is basically verse after verse of what it means to be blessed as a Christian. And verse 26, the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayers. We don't even know how to pray. Who's that for? Well, that's just for Christians. And all those things it mentions there in that chapter. But Hebrews 1:14 says that they are ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. Now, I wish there was a little more detail. I wish that we had a little bit more concerning what an angel would do for me or what an angel would do for you. But we know. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, that same chapter earlier, in about the middle of verse 3, says, when he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels. He has inherited a more excellent name than they. They are below deity. We don't need to think that angels are on the same level as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That they are below. Again, sometimes, and just sort of maybe subconsciously, maybe just as we're not really thinking it through, we think, well, they're on the same level. They're the same height, so to speak, of God. Well, they're not, and that verse tells us that. In chapter 2, verse 9 of Hebrews, but we do see him who has made for a little while, who was made for a little while, lower than the angels. Namely, Jesus, because the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. They are created beings. They are ministering spirits. They are below deity. Fourth, they do not engage in physical relationships like we do. They don't have the same relatives, marriages, all of those types of things that we do on this earth. In chapter 22 of Matthew, in verse 30, for that in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Describing how our relationships change to an extent after the resurrection. And he says, he compares and says, you know what it's going to be like? It's kind of like how the angels are in heaven. It says they neither marry nor are given in marriage. So they're not engaged in physical relationships in the way that we are on this earth. They're created beings. They're ministering spirits. They're below deity. They don't engage in the same types of relationships we have. Five, they're subject to some form of heavenly law because we know that some sin. They're subject to rules and regulations. How do we know that? Well, the Bible tells us that. 2 Peter, when a verse that tells us, really gives us a lot of information concerning what life is like after this world, but 2 Peter in chapter 2, verse 4, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment." Well, the verse says what it says. Seems very plain that the angels had the opportunity, had the ability to sin. Means that they were subject to divine law, and some had violated that law. Peter, in a discussion of other things, says, by the way, he says, it's just like angels who have been sent away, been condemned. It says they are being reserved for judgment because we know there is but one judgment day. The Bible never talks about multiple days of judgment. Number six, in things we need to know about angels, they worship God and serve Him. And we can look at any number of passages from the book of Revelation like that. Number seven, some temporarily assumed human form and communicated messages from God. We've mentioned some of those already. We mentioned, of course, with men who came and spoke to Abraham. We know the angel pronounced the coming of the Lord and did that, presented themselves that way. We also have number eight. They seem to be employed by God in the Christian death experience. You may have been to funerals before and heard someone talk about how that the person was carried away by the angels. The person's body, the angels came, and you may have thought, well, did that really happen? I don't know that that's true. Is the Bible saying that? Well, it comes from Luke chapter 16. In regarding the rich man and Lazarus, and some say that's a parable, and some say that's a true story, and I've always said it really makes no difference. It doesn't change the truth of it, of this story, but in that story of the rich man and Lazarus, it simply says that in verse 22, "Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried." So you hear someone reference someone, the angels taking away someone. That is where that passage comes from. So it seems like they're involved in that process to some extent. We also know that they will return with Christ, the Christ's second coming. We know we have multiple passages that discuss that. Matthew chapter 25 mentions that. We also know in 2 Thessalonians, where Paul is writing to the Thessalonians talking about the persecution that they're facing, the way they're being hurt because of their faith. He says he's going to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So again, we have Matthew 25, verse 31, and also 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, that talk about the angels coming back with the Lord, when the Lord comes again. And finally, number 10, we don't have that communication anymore of angels to us, and that type of communication, because the Bible says that God speaks to us in a different way now. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8 says, but Paul is writing about those who have distorted the gospel, those who taught us a different gospel, a second gospel, which is not the true one. He says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. And we also know that in Hebrews chapter 1, some of the first verses of Hebrews tells us, the first two verses of Hebrews, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, and in many portions and in many ways, he says, think about how God spoke to people back then. He spoke to the prophets and he spoke to us in all types of ways. Verse 2, in these last days, meaning the Christian age, we're in the, there's nothing after us. The only thing we're waiting for is the Lord to come again. In these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So that is our communication today from God, is the message of Christ, the message he teaches, and the message that we're given in the text, the inspired word of God that was recorded that we have today that teaches us until the Lord comes again. These are 10 fundamental basic things about angels. And one more thing regarding the communication of angels. Met someone once who said that her favorite verse was from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. You see, that's my favorite verse because I'm always attuned, I'm always thinking about if I might be talking to an angel. I might be talking to somebody who is an angel from God to help me in some way, to give me a message and so forth. And she points to this verse, they see that's what the Bible says. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, but for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. And there's a reference, probably in your Bible, has a little notation about a reference to when those strangers came to Abraham. And he was unaware of who they were at the time. But here's the problem with that. It really doesn't say that somebody's going to communicate with an angel today. The way it's worded and the way the text itself, and you look at the rest of Scripture, it'd be like you teaching your son to play baseball, and you tell him and said, hey, Johnny, you need to swing the bat really hard. Swing the bat as hard as you can swing it. I mean, Babe Ruth swung the bat really hard, and he hit 60 home runs one season. It doesn't mean that Johnny's Babe Ruth. It doesn't mean Johnny's going to hit 60 home runs. It doesn't have meaning. He's going to do exactly what Babe Ruth did. What are you saying? You're just simply saying you need to swing the bat really hard. This verse says you need to practice hospitality. It doesn't mean we're going to be presented with angels. He's simply saying, you know what? One time in the past, Abraham had these angels come to him. He wasn't aware of it. Imagine if Abraham had not treated them well, was not hospitable. Imagine how bad that would have been. Hebrew writer simply saying, you don't know who you're going to meet. You don't know what value this person has. You don't know their who they are, what they may do for you. You need to treat everyone the same. There have been people in the past who could have made terrible mistakes because of not practicing hospitality. So you may have a discussion, see someone talking about that verse, and don't believe it all. It says we're going to meet angels. It simply says that we need to practice hospitality. It's really the lesson, the message of that verse. So to summarize all the things we've been talking about, I know this lesson's more like a class tonight than a sermon. We know that angels are created by God. They have a nature that's lower than God, but higher than humans in the sense of being spirit beings. They serve God's purposes in biblical times in different ways, sometimes taking the form of a person. We see that they have free will, that some have sinned, and God condemned them, and they're going to be judged at Judgment Day as everyone else is. And we know that they serve us today. They are ministering spirits sent out to render service to those who will inherit salvation. And they're doing it. I would love to give you detail about that. I would love to tell you exactly how and when and all the ways in which they do that, but I can't. And the question then becomes, and this is the whole point of this whole lesson. We always want to talk about the main point, the one thing to think about in each lesson or sermon. Well, what's the main point of this? Why even talk about angels? Why even study it? If it's something that's out of sight but not out of mind. When I was in school in a couple of classes about how to preach and deliver lessons and all those types of things, one of the best simple things I heard about that said, if you're going to preach, you have to tell them the what and then the so what. You tell them the material, then you say, okay, what am I supposed to do with it? Here's the what, and now so what? What does this matter to me? What is that going to affect my life? And if you can do those two things, you'll probably people will probably learn a lot and be inspired to do things. Well, that was the what of angels, and now we have the so what. What does it matter to even discuss angels? What does it matter to get into those things? If they're doing whatever they're doing, regardless of if I know what they're doing or not, if they're still going to do it anyway, what's the point? Well, the point is, of all of this, is that there are things that you cannot see, and right now you cannot comprehend, that are working on your behalf. And as Christians, a lot of times we want to see things. We want to have the answer right in front of us. We want to see tangible things. We want to see black and white in the text, and we should do that. We should care about the Bible. We should care about what the Bible says, of course. You should feel that way. And we want to get hard evidence of anything we think about Him, anything that's going on. And if we want help from God, from someone, we want to say, there's the help that came. And it was at 7:30 on Thursday night and this day, and that was from God, and that helped my life. And it would be great if life were like that. If we could be that specific about all the things that God was doing for us. But we know that's simply just not the case. Isaiah said, His ways are not our ways, His thoughts are not our thoughts. If you try to think and put your mind on the same level as God, that's going to be very frustrating because you can't do it. There's so many things that God does for us that we just simply cannot see, that we cannot define, we can't touch it. But the Bible says things are happening in your life that you just can't see. But they are happening for you, for your benefit. It's just like people who pray for you, that you don't even know they're praying for you. And you've probably been blessed in some way by somebody else's prayer. Prayer that you never prayed. But it was because somebody else prayed for you that you were blessed. You never knew it happened. You never saw it coming. You probably never even counted it as the result of someone else's prayer. But that's exactly what happened. There are so many things regarding faith that we cannot see, but they are still they're still for our behalf. And that's one of the great blessings of being a Christian. Is that even when we're not asking for it, even when we're not thinking about it and seeing it right in front of us, that it's still happening. And God blesses us in those ways every day. And I'm thankful there are angels. I'm thankful that they are doing whatever they're doing for our benefit. We always have time at the end of the lesson for what we call an invitation. Not really a lot of invitations in the Bible. There's a few that we would say kind of look like that, but most of the time, just sermons or lessons are given, and the people did with it whatever they want. But we always like to set aside time within our services for someone who may be waiting for this night to say, I believe in Christ, believe He is the Son of God, He is the Lord, I want to repent of my sins, and be baptized into Christ. We'd love to have someone, just one more, baptized this evening for the forgiveness of their sins. The Lord will add them to the church, the Bible says. And they will begin their walk with Him. If you need to do that, or you've strayed from the Lord, or you don't feel your faith is as strong as it needs to be, or you have a burden on your heart, something that's on your mind that you just feel like needs to be expressed, and so that we can pray with you and try to encourage you, you feel like that will be a benefit, you can also come. Whatever it is, please come while we stand and sing.